Hello, and welcome to the Scrap Gov Scrap Podcast.
Where we talk about the increase in the size, the cost, the extent of reach, and the power of a terroristic tyrannical de facto government.
Thank you. I almost created the wrong podcast.
Well, seeing as you missed yesterday.
Yes, Mr. Monologue.
M&M, Mr. Monologue.
Yeah, I came to the conclusion. I didn't get a chance to listen to much of it, but I came to the conclusion that you always monologue.
Probably.
Because all that happens when I'm on is I interrupt your monologue.
Perhaps. But sometimes I can monologue and sometimes I can't. Yesterday, started out kind of so-so because I was playing the game. If it weren't for the tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick from my typing, I would have had dead air. So, thank God I didn't have dead air. They got to listen to me type.
Tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick.
Yeah, basically. So that was like the first 15, 30 minutes, and then I actually started podcasting.
Ah.
Yeah, because Drafter, you remember Drafter from Red Towers?
Dog Drafter?
Yes.
Yeah, vaguely.
Well, I ended up joining his tribe or kingdom.
Who was he in PK?
That's a good question. I don't know. Because I didn't know him in PK. Maybe.
Well, yeah, maybe.
But I didn't know a whole lot of people outside of our kingdom. I pretty much kept to myself. So, and I do that pretty much in this game, too. And I didn't hang out in chat on PK, where with Red Towers, I hung out in chat more.
Yeah.
PK had more to do, where Red Towers did not.
Yeah. I like Mabinugi, but honestly, I miss being able to build things that were mine.
Mine.
All right. You know, Mabinugi is a set world. You know, it's theirs, and theirs. The only thing you can build that's yours is your homestead.
Right.
And you can grow some herbs there and harvest them, and you can put in an oven, and you can do your cooking in your own homestead instead of looking for the local fire pit in the nearest town, whatever. All right. But there really isn't anything unique you can do in your homestead that can't be done elsewhere. You know.
Yeah, you'll have to join Mystere Legacy and help me with my stuff.
I have, and I'm sorry. It. We need to cross Mysteria Legacy with Mabinugi.
Yeah.
Get that 3-day world. But no, what we really need to do is we need to cross Parallel Kingdom with Mabinugi. So you can be fighting 3D critters and stuff like that and customizing your characters. That's one thing I didn't like about Parallel Kingdom. You couldn't see your damn character. Well, there was differences and stuff, but I mean, you know, the girls and the guys pretty much looked the same. Those bumps on the chest, you had to stare real close to tell that there was bumps there. Other than that, not the girls and the guys look pretty much the same.
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter.
No, it's, well, yeah, no, it's kind of true, but I don't know. I kind of like my 3D world. And I liked that you could actually work on something that was your area. Anyway, we're doing D&D podcast stuff, and we're supposed to be doing Scrap Podcast.
Well, I did a little bit of a Scrap Go Scrap podcast last night on the D&D podcast, but...
That's fine. It's allowed to do that. This one isn't allowed to go the other way, though.
Right. That one can go both ways, but this one can't.
Yeah, D&D can swing both ways. This one's all straight.
Straight and narrow.
Straight, narrow, and uptight.
So are we right wing or are we left wing?
I'm neither.
I would say that we're more right than left.
I'm anti-authoritarian. I don't know about you.
I am anti-authoritarian.
Yeah, okay. You archist, you.
I am. You must respect my authority. Anywho, well, let's start out with Ron Paul. He talks about guns and school shooting.
Is this a new podcast or is this last week?
Oh, wait, that was last week. I did that yesterday. That was why I did it yesterday, because we missed last week.
But did he update?
Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, let's find out if he updated.
When President Reagan met with Gorbachev in Iceland on October 11, 1987, it helped put into motion events that would dramatically change the global system. A line of communication was fully open with an enemy of decades, and substantive issues were on the table. Though the summit was initially reported as a failure, with the two sides unable to sign a final agreement, history now shows us that it was actually a great success that paved the way to the eventual end of the Cold War and a reduction in the threat of a nuclear war. A year later, Gorbachev and Reagan met in Washington to continue the dialogue that had been started, and the rest is history. Success began as a failure. We are now facing a similar situation with President Trump's historic meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore. As with the Reagan-Gorbachev meeting, detractors on all sides seem determined to undermine and belittle the opening of a door to diplomacy and peace. The neocons demand that North Korea give up all its bargaining chips up front in return for vague promises of better relations with the U.S. Yet in the post-Libya era, no serious person would jump at such an offer. Their biggest fear is that peace may break out, and they are doing everything to prevent that from happening. Conflict is their livelihood. I also find it disheartening that many Democrat opponents of President Trump, who rightly cheered President Obama's effort to reach a deal with Iran, are now condemning Trump for opening the door to diplomacy with North Korea. Did they genuinely support President Obama's diplomatic efforts with Iran, or did they just prefer the person who happened to occupy the Oval Office at the time? The issue is about policy versus politics, and I'm afraid too many Americans of all political stripes are confusing the two. Many Americans, it seems, would prefer that we continue down the path to a potentially nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula because they do not like the current U.S. president. Does that make any sense? Has politics come to overrule our common sense to the point we would go against our own interests and even our own lives? Let's hope not. The truth is, Talking is always better than threatening, just like trading is always better than sanctioning. Detractors on both sides miss the point while they desperately try to make political points. The current fall with North Korea began with that country's participation in the Olympic Games in South Korea. From that point, North and South Korea came to see each other as neighbors rather than enemies. That process will continue regardless of what comes from the Trump-Kim summit, and it is a process we should share. Hopefully, this historic Trump-Kim meeting is the beginning of a dialogue that will continue to dial back the tensions. Hopefully, we can soon remove the 30,000 U.S. troops that have been stationed in South Korea for 7 decades. One thing Washington must do, however, stay out of the way as much as possible so as to allow the two Koreas to continue their peace process. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website and at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
To repeat the announcement.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, June 11th. When President Reagan met with Gorbachev in Iceland on October 11, 1987, it helped put into motion events that would dramatically change the global system. A line of communication was fully open with an enemy of decades, and substantive issues were on the table. Though the summit was initially reported as a failure, with the two sides unable to sign a final agreement, history now shows us that it was actually a great success that paved the way to the eventual end of the Cold War and a reduction in the threat of a nuclear war. A year later, Gorbachev and Reagan met in Washington to continue the dialogue that had been started, and the rest is history. Success began as a failure. We are now facing a similar situation with President Trump's historic meeting with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un in Singapore. As with the Reagan-Gorbachev meeting, detractors on all sides seem determined to undermine and belittle the opening of a door to diplomacy and peace. The neocons demand that North Korea give up all its bargaining chips up front in return for vague promises of better relations with the U.S. Yet in the post-Libya era, no serious person would jump at such an offer. Their biggest fear is that peace may break out, and they are doing everything to prevent that from happening. Conflict is their livelihood. I also find it disheartening that many Democrat opponents of President Trump, who rightly cheered President Obama's effort to reach a deal with Iran, are now condemning Trump for opening the door to diplomacy with North Korea. Did they genuinely support President Obama's diplomatic efforts with Iran, or did they just prefer the person who happened to occupy the Oval Office at the time? The issue is about policy versus politics, and I'm afraid too many Americans of all political stripes are confusing the two. Many Americans, it seems, would prefer that we continue down the path to a potentially nuclear conflict on the Korean Peninsula because they do not like the current U.S. president. Does that make any sense? Has politics come to overrule our common sense to the point we would go against our own interests and even our own lives? Let's hope not. The truth is, talking is always better than threatening, just like trading is always better than sanctioning. Detractors on both sides miss the point while they desperately try to make political points. The current fall with North Korea began with that country's participation in the Olympic Games in South Korea. From that point, North and South Korea came to see each other as neighbors rather than enemies. That process will continue regardless of what comes from the Trump-Kim summit, and it is a process we should share. Hopefully, this historic Trump-Kim meeting is the beginning of a dialogue that will continue to dial back the tensions. Hopefully, we can soon remove the 30,000 U.S. troops that have been stationed in South Korea for 7 decades. One thing Washington must do, however, stay out of the way as much as possible so as to allow the two Koreas to continue their peace process. Thanks for calling this update. A new update is placed on this number, 888-322-1414, every Sunday. The written text can be found on my Ron Paul Institute website and at www.ronpaulinstitute.org and on my Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
To repeat the announcement, press 1. To repeat the announcement,
are you there?
Oh, yeah, I forgot to unmute it. How about you?
Yeah, I unmuted.
Thanks for listening. Okay, bye.
Yeah. Oh, no! Peace is breaking out! What are we going to do? Ah!
I know, right?
Yeah, that was shame on you, Ron Paul. You really can't know what they're thinking. Well, yeah, their actions do indicate that that's what they're thinking, but he really can't know what they're thinking.
Well, true.
That's probably the best explanation for what they're thinking, but, you know, that's sort of like saying, oh, my ex is just evil. She's going to do whatever she can to keep me away from the kids. All right. Well, she's probably going to do whatever she can to keep you away from the kids, but it doesn't necessarily mean that she's evil, and that may not be the reason she's doing it. All right. Maybe she thinks you're evil.
Or Paul. I'm not evil. My ex is evil. And you're evil for suggesting that I might be evil.
I'm evil.
Hey, if the peanut gallery is going to comment, they need to get on a phone.
He said, if the peanut gallery is going to comment, you need to call in. David Ray. And this is the Scrap Gov Scrap Podcast.
Easy there, my friend.
How you doing? Get on a phone.
Get on a phone. I'm on the phone.
Oh.
This is almost as good as having another caller.
Almost.
So what do you think about Donald Trump? World fucking leader. Phone went dead.
I think we had that discussion already. I think we had the discussion already in the podcast. I'm an anti-authoritarian.
All right, well, what do you think about Donald Trump trying to denuclearize North Korea?
If he can do that in a purely voluntary method, great. But I don't see the point, because it's like guns. If somebody else has nuclear weapons, then you should have nuclear weapons. If somebody else has guns, you should have guns.
Well, I got a gun.
So, that's good.
I got two guns. One, boom, two, pow.
Those are Pee Wee Herman guns.
Pee Wee Herman guns?
Yeah, he's showing his guns on his arms. He forgot about his main guns right here.
Steve Gunn.
David, I got to go to work. Real people got to go to work.
Yep. I'll be doing that tomorrow.
Awesome, David. You're amazing.
I'll be chopping up a honey locust tree.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, fun time.
Ooh. You got milk off your pedestal.
Yeah. So, what would you give a dog that's got diabetes? Time for a shot.
Okay. Cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's his diet.
I'm not saying it would cure him. But it would help.
It would help.
It would help process sugar.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
sure what
my diet.
Yeah, I'm not sure what causes diabetes.
Fluoride.
Is the dog getting plenty of sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, humans a lot of times diabetes is not diabetes. It's actually lack of sleep.
No.
In humans.
He gets plenty of sleep, as do most dogs.
Yeah.
Hey, Watto.
Right here.
Right where?
If he needs to go pee-pee,
you'll
need
to
drag him.
It's not coming. Right, leading since he's blind. And castor oil. Where's the best place to buy castor oil?
Get pharmaceutical grade at the pharmacy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there'll be a little... It'll say USDA, and there'll be a little P symbol on the letter P, and somewhere on there it'll say pharmaceutical grade. If you could make your own, that'd probably be better still. But I'd want to know that I was skillful at pressing the oil out. I'd get the pharmaceutical grade because you want it to be as pure as possible.
Okay,
go. You know, you're putting in your eye after all.
Right.
Hey, I just found out that the hydrogen peroxide you buy at the pharmacy.
Yeah.
You really don't want to use it.
No, not internally for sure.
I use it on all my little scratches and bumps and stuff all the time. And I went right up on it, and they said, yeah, for occasional topical applications, it's okay. Occasional. I use
40%.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, I've heard you put it straight on your skin. I think you're insane.
Cats rule and dogs drool.
Yeah, get the pharmaceutical grade castor oil. That'll help.
Pharmaceutical grade 40% hydrogen peroxide and put that in your eye.
No, thank you. I'll need castor oil in order to smooth my lens back out. Oh my God. Might as well take sandpaper to your eye lens. Oh, my. Yay. All right, I would talk about this now, but this is definitely a D&D podcast subject, so I'm going to leave it alone. Oh, my God! Peace is breaking out. We have to do something about it. Yeah, he was talking about since the Olympic Games, where North Korea sent athletes down and played games there in, I guess, South Korea. The two countries see each other as neighbors now.
It's about time.
You know? And, you know, I think it's interesting. I read this other article. I got sucked into it because, you know, one of these ads showed pictures that... It's one of these advertisements where they show you a picture and they tell you some fallacious thing supposedly going on, and they didn't know about this, and they show some really I can't think of the right word. They're not showing nudity. It's not that kind, but it's some provocative picture. all right, where it makes you go, huh, I wonder what is going on, all right? And then you go through all the photos that they got in the photo series and all, you know, all the descriptions and stuff, and the picture that they use to draw you in is not anywhere in the series. All right. So, anyway, so I got sucked into one of those. And it happened to be about North Korea. All right, so I'm going through it and going through it and going through it. And one of the things they brought up was that the North Koreans are bringing in contraband South Korean drama to watch on DVD.
Contraband what?
Drama. Television programs.
Okay. Things we wouldn't think nothing about.
Well, yeah. But it's contraband. All right.
So that's almost as bad as us pirating music.
Yeah. Well, no. If the music was banned here in America, which they won't officially do, but you know, yeah, television programs. They're bringing in television programs.
Nice. Well, yeah, our podcast would probably be contraband, too.
Well, it is contraband here in the U.S. And if we don't step right and make appropriate disclaimers, there has been podcasts made here in America where people were accused of attempting to, I can't think of the exact words. There's this guy that had a podcast that told you how to legally avoid the IRS. Okay? So they threw him in jail for a year. On other charges. But they threw him in jail for a year. And it's sort of like how they got Al Capone. All right? Supposedly Al Capone was a bad guy because he was bootlegging liquor. Well, he didn't go to prison for bootlegging liquor. He went to prison for tax evasion based on all of his bootlegging sales.
Of course.
You know. But if he had reported it, they would have used his tax reports as evidence against him for bootlegging. So, you know, that was bullshit. And
well,
honestly,
it as something else.
Honestly, you know, that particular case. He really wasn't breaking any laws in the first place. Because the thing they were trying to get him for, it was immoral for him to make a law against it in the first place. And the thing that they got him for, it was immoral for him to make a law for that in the first place, too. So.
So what?
So it was all screwed up. It's a bad thing.
Bad llama.
Bad llama.
Oh. So what else is Trump doing? Oh, supposedly Trump is trying to decriminalize marijuana.
It's already not criminal.
I know.
It's criminal to make it's criminal that the New World Order says it is criminal. And it's criminal that they come in with their thugs and whatever and beat people up over it. But it's a green herb. It was provided by our Lord God Almighty, and he said that all green herbs are good for man's use.
Yep.
Now, I may disagree with people who like to smoke it, and I may disagree with people who like to breed it for THC. But more power to them.
All right.
You know, it's up to them. That's between them and God. Personally, I would be happy if Uncle Sam would recognize that he really has no say and stepped out of it so that I could turn around and grow ditchweed.
Ditchweed, ditchweed, roly-poly, ditchweed.
And then I'd start extracting the hemp oil, which is that's the wrong name for it. That's the name they use, but that's the wrong name for it because marijuana is not hemp.
True,
so
but
it's marijuana
the
oil.
Family. They're in
this
the same
is true.
Family, and people think, and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but people think that they made marijuana illegal so that they can make hemp illegal. It wasn't the war on marijuana wasn't a war on marijuana; it was a war on hemp.
It may have been.
Because
and it's still, it would put the nylon rope business out of business if they legalize it.
Hemp, you know, you can make like plastics. I don't know if it's actually a plastic, but you can make things like bumpers and cell phone cases and things, laptop. Stuff, all kinds of stuff like that. Things that you would normally use plastic for, you can use hemp, and it's like really, it's like stronger. Not as strong as metal, but it's still light and stronger than plastic.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure if you had the opportunity to experiment with it, they do make some plastics that are as tough as metal. But they're usually, you know, like metal impregnated or it's a special chemical bond or a special treatment, whatever. All right. It wouldn't be like hardened steel, but, you know, it's surprising how strong you can make plastic parts. All right.
And so using hemp to replace plastic might even be even better.
Yep.
I mean, they say it is, but it's all hearsay evidence.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the steam engine, you know, there's people maintaining patents on the steam engine just so that somebody else doesn't grab hold of it and make something that competes with the modern car, because it would.
Right.
You know, if you knew that if you ran out of gas, you could just start cleaning up the side of the freeway, picking up all the trash and stuff like that, grabbing all the burnable material and shove it into your burning chamber, you know, for your car, where you'd normally put your charcoal or coal or whatever you use in order to boil the gas, boil the water, all right? If you knew that that's all you had to do, if you could just grab all the trash, you know, just, you know, be a little picky. Don't throw any aluminum cans and stuff like that in there. But as long as you threw flammable stuff in it, you know, all the edges of the freeways would be cleaned perpetually because everybody who ever ran out of gas would clean it.
Oh, yeah. And people who are poor and need gas would clean it.
Yeah. And then I'd be out there beating people with a stick to chase them away from our ditches. Hey,
get out.
This is my cleanup zone. Get the hell out of here.
Right? How dare you claim my dishes?
My job. I get to keep that crap.
That would be so funny. Hey, get out of here.
Well, and people would tend not to throw things out the windows when they pulled over for the pee break. When they pulled over for their pee break, they'd just throw all their trash into the burn chamber.
It put the Adopt-a-Highway business out of business.
Yeah. Which is pretty much out of business anyway. But
nothing.
Well, you know, maybe we'd walk out there with loads of sticks and twigs from time to time and, dump them in our ditches so people would stop by to pick up everything else. You know, sort of like, you know, you scatter grain for chickens so that they'll scratch up a certain spot.
Right.
You know, as long as you cut it up small enough, the people will come and haul off all your yard waste.
Oh, yeah.
Can you imagine garbage collection in the city?
Do what?
Could you imagine garbage collection in the city if we had steam engines?
Oh, yeah, our dumps would be clean.
Yeah, there'd only be aluminum cans and bottles. That would be it. And that'd be easy to
separate.
It'd be easy to separate them and recycle them.
So why don't we bring the steam engine back?
For the same reason, the compressed air car, the electric car, basically the only thing that survived 1930s was gas-driven cars and diesel engines. That was pretty much it. And both of those could be run off of the petroleum industry.
Right.
There
was big oil.
I don't know who did it, but I would suspect it was big oil. But in the mid 1930s to the late 1930s, there was a concerted effort to go through all the libraries and pull off the shelves anything that mentioned things like compressed air, electric cars, things like that. And
right. Get rid of any evidence.
Yeah, the Stanley Steamer got driven off the market because the owner of the company had his car participating in a basically a drag race on a beach against a Ford motor car. And this is early on. And, you know, people, they show them pictures of the Model T and stuff like that, and they talk about how slow and clunky it was, and it could only do 30 miles an hour and blah, 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 blah. Well, that was bullshit. It may be true that the Model T only went that fast, but soon after they started making the gas-driven cars and stuff like that, they had them up to 120 plus miles per hour in no time. All right. And they were racing.
Oh, yeah. Maybe the first Model T could only do like 30.
Yeah. But I mean it wasn't even a decade and they were up to the efficiencies of what we have today, and they were pushing cars that weighed twice as much, had heavier frames. All right.
And probably a better fuel mileage.
Probably could have achieved better fuel mileage. I know the air car did. The air car was 3 cubic feet of air. And they were able to do about 200 to 300 miles on that much compressed air. Talking of which, there was a magazine called Compressed Air. It was one of the things that got pulled out of the library. Well, thank God for archives.org.
Archives.org.
Somebody found and scanned in most of the copies of that magazine over about a decade period.
There you go.
And I have made an effort to download all of them, and I'm going to be going through them. Because I do plan.
Archives.org for anything that the government's trying to hide.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but you'll find some stuff that makes it through the cracks. All right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. Well, you know, you'll find stuff in the Library of Congress that squeezed through the cracks.
Oh.
Heck, the Library of Congress might actually have. Yeah, the compressed air cars were really big in Australia, the early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. They had an electric car. I don't know where they had that at, but they had an electric car. It was able to head down the road just as fast as you can imagine a regular car going down the road. Had good distance on it. And they're trying to make it sound like it's a big deal that they just came up with the electric car now. They had it at the start of the automotive industry.
Oh, yeah. They suppressed the technology. So they
suppressed
it. Give it to us a tiny, tiny bit at a time to make them look cool when they've had it forever. Well, not forever, but pretty much forever.
Yeah. While the Tesla is a good car, it's a joke. It has nothing to do with Tesla.
Tesla, that's the guy with the ice cream cones, right?
No.
Who was that?
Tesla was the guy who was going to give us free electricity around the world.
Oh, okay.
When's
that ever going to happen?
It's not going to happen because J.P. Morgan nixed it.
Oh, of course.
He built this great big transmitter in the – I forget where he built it. But they shut him down. They demolished it because they said that it was a it'd be a target for air raids. It's like, well, okay, fine. Leave it up then. Now you know where not to be when an air raid occurs. But they had to demolish it, which would have been the same effect as if an air raid had hit it.
Of course.
Is there some logic there?
We got to take it down so an air raid won't take it down. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah, and the sad thing is the American public, I'm sure they were smart enough to see how stupid that reason was.
But they still bought it, hook, line, and sinker.
They still allowed it to happen. All right. But...
You idiot!
Yeah, the reason why J.P. Morgan nixed it is because he goes, he asked Tesla, well, okay, how am I going to put a meter on this? And Tesla's like, well, you can't. It's like, so I can't make money off of this? You know? And Tesla's not a money guy. He doesn't, he's not creative enough to figure out how to make money off of things. But he's great at making all the technology we have today. You pretty much, you know, your cell phones, your television, everything. You can pretty much blame Tesla for it. All right. You know, you like your computers and stuff like that. He's the one who came up with a lot of the principles of electricity that we use today to achieve all those things.
Lame,
yeah.
Okay. Who's the guy with the ice cream cones?
I can't remember his name. But I know where he was from. Coral Castle in Florida.
Energy ice cream.
Now, I'll leave off the ice cream. Just say Coral Castle, and they'll tell you who he is, and then you'll know. People put too much into their search engine when they're looking for things. Like, I can't find it. Well, leave that word out, that word, and that word out. Oh, there it is.
Oh, yeah.
If it gives you too much information, then start adding a few words here and there.
Oh, I found it.
Maybe. There it is, the ice cream cone.
Yay. Drop that into Discord so we can all look at it. Hey, folks, if you find something interesting, we have a Discord channel. It's David, David, and David on discordapp.com. And I'm not sure exactly how Discord works, but you can look up the site, and once you find us, you can at least ask us for an invitation, and I'll be sure to send you one.
There you go.
But if you see something interesting, you can drop a link in there. If you don't want to call in, you can make comments there. You know? So, if you gamers who are listening to our podcast, you should know about Discord. Because it's like, the premier gamers communication site.
Pretty much.
Yep, and I can't even look at it right now because my internet is blown because I'm on the phone.
Internet suck it.
Oh, I finally found out how to report that there's a problem with the tower in the area.
Okay.
You were with me when I went and got the phone, right?
Yeah.
What network did she say that the Cricket phone service is on?
I don't remember.
I swear she said it was on the Verizon network.
I swore it was a different network, but you said otherwise.
Okay, well, you're right. It's a different network.
I can't remember which one it was. AT&T.
Bingo.
That's what
Bingo.
It was.
Yeah. Well, AT&T has a app that you can go on their app and report problems with towers.
Cool.
So I did. And then they sent me a nice little email saying thank you for your report. We will look into it. All right. So, I actually found that by, searching on Google. My Cricket network keeps getting weaker. And you know what? Somebody else used nearly those exact words, and somebody said, hey, try this app. Look and see if they're doing any work on the towers near you.
Okay, I found his name. Edward Lead
Scallion.
Scallion.
Scallion, I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, okay, Scallion.
Ed Scallion.
Huh?
Ed Scallion is how they often refer to him. I couldn't think of it. I had to hear you say it.
Yeah, Led Scallion. Edward.
Yay!
Led
it was a
Scallion.
Tick. I hate that. Tick season, folks, here in Missouri.
Yeah, need more antlions.
Well, no, actually, I don't think they'd be efficient at taking out ticks, but I thought it was interesting that they will eat a tick. You drop a tick down in one of their cones, and the tick floats down to the bottom, and the antlion will grab onto it and suck the life out of it.
Yeah. So we need more of them, as well as guinea hens. So, are we going to turn that camper into a chicken coop? Or
you know, I'm going to use it for sorting out my shit in my storage container. That's the first thing I'm going to use it for, and I will try to make it livable. And if it's just too much effort to make it livable, then I don't think it will be, though. Anything that's loose in there, I'm going to strip out. But, well, there's one of my problems. Anyway. Yeah, I'm going to try and make it livable. One of the problems is it was used for a dog kennel. And they left the door open so the dogs could go in and out. And so the floor rotted right there in front of the door, and it smells like dogs have been in there.
So when your future wife tells you to go sleep in a doghouse.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll have a mattress and everything. Yeah, we have a dilemma. We have two zone ones on our land.
What's a zone one?
Zone one's basically where you live.
Oh, I thought we were zone seven.
Well, no, that's a different zone thing. All right. In permaculture design, there's five zones. All right. Zone one is where you do the stuff that you do every day.
Like okay. Eat and sleep.
Eat and sleep and work. You know, you do your main work in zone one. All right? Now, lots of people have two zone ones, I guess, because they live in one location, and then they travel to another location to do their job.
Yeah, that don't count.
You know? So I guess your second zone one would be your semi-truck.
Yeah, that don't count.
You know? Not much you can do with it. Okay? You know? But I'm sure you arrange things so they're as comfortable as you can make them. And since they're switching you to a different truck every day or even multiple times a day, not really much you can do about it.
Pretty much, yeah. I change trucks a lot.
Anyway. We'll deal with it. But one of the problems with guineas is you want them to be away from the road. I was talking to Doris, and one of the things she pointed out is her guineas would go out every winter and every spring and peck the salt off the road. Because they'd salt the road.
Right.
Which that's is probably the reason. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why George had such a problem with his guineas. Because I guarantee they salt 54. Got to keep that clear.
Right.
But that also might be the answer. Have a good supply of granulated salt, you know, rock salt, available for your guineas to eat on your land.
That's the blasphemy.
Just have it available. You know? Just saying. Anyway.
Just saying. That's a good idea.
So, since we're drifting away from political stuff, should I jump on my Facebook bandwagon?
Facebook bandwagon. Yes. Suck it to us.
All right, so I've got this friend who he couldn't pay his phone bill, but he still had his internet. And so in order to communicate with him and his wife, I attempted recently to sign up for Facebook. Well, I know most of you people out there is like, just give him your photo. It's all right if they have your phone number. It's like, well,
they already have all that information anyways. Might as well give it to them.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. I'm standing up for the other guy who doesn't want to give that information. You know? And so, see, the thing is, though, if they'd let me on Facebook, I'd give my phone number out like candy.
Candy, Bobandy, Banana, Santa, Bofandy.
So they would have gotten it anyway. They just wouldn't have gotten it officially.
Right.
All right. And I probably would have put my profile picture up eventually. All right. But in order to sign up for Facebook, they insisted that I give them a picture that they would use, just for their use.
They didn't do that to me.
Did you sign up recently?
Oh, no.
Okay.
See, that's just it. Forever.
Yeah, see, if you sign up for Gmail or Yahoo Mail right now, you have to give them a phone number. No ifs, ands, or buts. They will not give you an email account unless you do. Well, I'll be damned if I'm going to give them my phone number.
You're damned because they already got your phone number.
Well, but they're not, as far as I know, they're not calling me. All right. You know, that's one of the problems. I mean, they give out your information like candy, whether you want to give it out like candy or not.
All right.
You know, I want the option to decide where and when I want to give out my phone number.
You give it out when I say you give it out.
You know. So they blocked my account, and they sent me to this thing. Okay, my phone just made a weird noise. I thought I lost you, but I can hear you in the background. So what's going on here? I don't know. Oh, it's the golden hour before sunset. Okay. Anyway, so they sent me to this page. I can't read the whole thing. I didn't take a screenshot of the whole thing. I took a screenshot of my response to them. But, you know, they don't want you to impersonate someone else. Well, I wasn't. I was being me. Now, I was supposed to use a fake name. Well, define fake name, because I got to tell you, there ain't nobody on this planet that was born a Mary, a Cindy, a Joe, a Frank, a David. You know, you weren't born those things. Somebody made up a name and gave it to you. So all names are fictions. And the definition of fake is, you know, fake name would be a fictitious name. All names are fictitious. All right. So, I mean, I know you're going to say, well, you know what they mean.
Yeah, you know what they mean.
All right. Well, then Muhammad Ali was using a fake name. Okay.
Who's that?
That's true. This is a generation that might not know who Muhammad Ali is. I barely know who he is, but that's because I'm not a sports fan. And, not being a sports fan, I still know who he is. Heard of him, you know. He's famous enough that somebody who's not even interested in him knows who he is. So, anyway.
Anywho.
Anyway, it went down the line of, you know, basically anybody who breaks Facebook policy or whatever, all right? Well, and they asked me, was this helpful? So on the end, I clicked no because it didn't apply, all right? So what went wrong? And they gave me these three choices. The information is confusing. Well, no, it wasn't really confusing. The solution doesn't work. Well, that would be true because it wasn't a solution to the problem. I don't like the product or policy. This is true also. Okay. All right. But it fell into the category of other, because the page they directed me to was if I had actually used Facebook and had broken some policy. They never allowed me to even use Facebook. So here's my response. Other. Didn't answer the question as of why you never allowed me to open this account in the first place. I originally opened the account to reach two friends who had let their phone bill lapse. But it spell check corrected me again. Dang it. But I showed them a better way than Facebook, so the problem solved. Just now, I followed somebody's link to an article on Facebook. As you will not let me read it without giving up personal information about myself that I do not wish to share with you, I will just have to show them a better way as well. If you do not want me to continue to show others better ways of communicating other than with others that do not involve Facebook, I might suggest to you that you grant me and others access without bullying us out of private information, such as photos, phone numbers, etc. If you feel that you need these to verify who we are, that is fine. It is your house. But as you've proven yourself to be dishonest with the use of the information given you, I choose not to give it. And when I run into roadblocks caused by you, I show other people better ways. Then I hit the submit button. So.
Man,
some poor lackey will probably read that and go, "Ah, shit." and he'll get 86th. But
pretty much.
But Facebook, consider that my legal notice to you that so long as you continue to be an asshole, I'm going to show people how to get around you.
Laugh at you and BS.
Yeah. You know, you're not necessary. Matter of fact, quite frankly, I'm looking at Discord, and, you know, they could go the way of Facebook, but right now Discord is everything that Facebook should ever have been. Because you can create your own channel and let whoever you want into it. And, you know, post it the way you want to post it. You know, if you want a channel that's for adults only, you can have a channel for adults only. If you want something that's for your friends and family, you can set that up. I'm thinking it would be a great platform for setting up CES.
I need something so I can set up a prostitution ring.
You know, you could probably do that on Discord too, but I don't want to hear about your successes when you do.
No, I'm just kidding.
You'd probably be the cause for why it'd become very Facebook-like very quickly. It's like, oh, God, now we've got to identify these people. Well, I have a suggestion. I mean, you know, I know you do websites where it's dating platform, and, you know, a certain minimum amount of contact information has to be given out. Certain minimum amount of personal information has to be given out. You're just not going to find anybody else unless you do.
Right.
All right. You know, it makes sense. All right. But even those sites don't require you to give a photo. They tell you the truth, though. You're 10 times as likely to meet somebody if you give us a photo.
True.
And then the guy that's not true for posts his photo. It's like, oh, God, we better block this guy's photo or he'll never get a date.
That would be me.
Yeah.
I'm so ugly, you can stuff my face in a bowl of dough and make gorilla cookies.
Yeah, Mr. Getty Lee. I had to go look him up because I didn't even know who he was until you mentioned him.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Everywhere I go, people tell me I look like him.
You said, and I believe you now because I went and looked him up. But here's my suggestions for websites who feel that they need to identify everybody. You don't really need to identify everybody, but you can provide a certification program. Talking which, after the podcast, I need to talk to you about the certification program you want to do on your sites. Okay. But, you know, you do a certification program. And you can have different levels of certification. It's like, okay. We verified that this email account is associated with this account. Right, and most sites do that. They ask you for an email, so they have a way of contacting you. All right, and you know, if you as somebody signing up to one of these accounts are worried about them giving out your email account and spamming the hell out of you, well, you're doing something wrong. All right, because they are going to do that for the most part, except my friend Kano. He will never do that. But you know, somebody's going to steal Kano's database at some point. And I think I just lost Kano. Hopefully he'll call back in. Anyway, at some point, the database is going to get hacked, and your email and your phone number and that private photo that Facebook said that was only for their files is going to be accessed and taken, right? And more than likely, nothing will be done with it because you won't be important enough. But then again, you, by the lucky draw of the dice, are the one that they target, and they figure out how to access your accounts and stuff like that via the information you gave on Facebook. You know, your favorite color, your dog's name, where you did your honeymoon, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all that, there he is. You know, all that can be stripped out of your account. All right. So you've got reason for not giving information. Okay. And it's legitimate, but if you want a certain site to certify that indeed you're a real person, you know, you need to go through their process, all right? And my suggestion to those sites is they give levels of certification. It's like, you know, level one, just about everybody goes through it, no matter what site you go to. Email verification, all right? And I got sidetracked on that issue. I'll get back to that. But, you know, email verification. They send you an email to the account, the email account that you signed up with. And that's good for the email holder because a lot of people will use a fake email. And next thing you know, the neighbor down the street's getting all your spam because you used their account in order to sign up, and the account didn't use email verification. It's like, well, okay, it's very simple. It's like, you know, if you told them that that's your email account, then it should be your email account. You shouldn't commit fraud by saying otherwise, okay? Now, if you don't – okay, so I'll go down this rabbit hole. If you don't want them to access that account because that's like your business account or whatever – well, then, don't be stupid. Create another account, all right? You know, most people have multiple phones, so even though Gmail and Yahoo require a phone number now in order to sign up, you know, more than likely you're willing to give that phone number. If not, then maybe you're willing to spend $35. Well, okay, $25 for a phone, and then another, I think it's $30 for a Straight Talk 1 month phone plan. And then whatever they charge for actually signing up, you know.
Yeah, but why would you spend $50 just to sign up on a website?
Well, to have a new Gmail email account.
Oh.
So now.
You don't have to sign up for our plan. All you got to do is buy the $25 phone.
Say it again.
All you got to do is buy the $25 phone.
Okay.
But you can have multiple Gmail accounts on a single phone. I've got 5 on this phone.
Right. Well, okay, next time you're in town, you're going to have to show me that $25 plan because I'll take advantage of it and sign up for 5. I have to think of 5 Gmail account names that I want to use. But actually,
I'll give you one of the phones. I'll just give you one of the phones.
Yeah, but they want
to pay $25 for a phone. And basically, as long as you have Wi-Fi, or whatever, as long as you have internet, you can create as many Gmail accounts as you want.
You'll have to show me how to do that, because so far my efforts to do that have failed.
Nah.
They require a phone number, and they're very picky about the source of the phone number. Quite frankly, I don't know if they'd accept a Cricket phone.
Yeah, I don't know. But I haven't given them a phone number for any of mine.
Well, have you done it recently?
Like how recent?
In the last 2 months.
2 months? Probably not. Probably borderline.
How about in the last 6 months?
Yes.
Okay. Well, in the last couple of months, I've had problems. Because there's a Yahoo account I used to have, and I signed up for some games with it, and I went to use that account, and indeed, the games have verified that, yes, there is an account holder, and we will email the information for reactivating those accounts to that email account, and I went to Yahoo to sign up to it, and the account is gone. And I thought they held on to accounts forever. But apparently I haven't used it in 5, 6, 7 years, and it's gone. And I can't sign up for it because I don't have a phone that they'll accept, that I'm willing to give.
Right.
So, yeah. So let's get one of your burners and try it.
Burner. My burner phone.
Yeah, they locked up my Doofus account on Facebook. It was my gaming account. Oh yeah, it was my gaming account.
I still tag you in it all the time.
Yeah, they want. I went to sign up with it in order to contact my friends, and they want a real photo.
Okay. Yeah, I've had that happen before.
They want a real photo, and I think they want a phone number.
Yeah, my original account that I originally had, I was using Kano Trump as my name, and they basically did that to me. I had to give them my government-issued identification card, even.
Yeah, and see, that's levels of certification, all right? And the same thing goes for the damn passwords, all right? Okay. You email providers. If the account is important to me, yes, I'm going to use a 25-digit randomly generated, it's got punctuation, capital letters, lowercase, numbers, symbols, the whole shebang. And I will rotate that password at least once a month if it's that important to me.
Yeah, speaking of which, I gotta update my password.
All right, if it's that important to me, okay. Quite frankly, though, if I want to use the word password for my password, you should give me a warning saying, "Warning, Will Robinson." Danger! This password will be hacked!
Hey, I got a quick question.
Yeah.
What website do you use the word password on for your password?
Actually, just about everything. But I encrypt it. I have an encryption method where I use common words for my password so I can remember them. All right, but it's encrypted. And I have my own encrypted formula, And you should all come up with your own encrypting formula, and it should be unique. And
I got my own.
Yeah. And but Yahoo has had me change my password on my email account so many times. I forgot what I was using. It's like, I mean, if you're changing your password all the time, like the military does, you have to write it down. And trust me, the military writes down their passwords. But they're 20, 30 characters long. And they are generated by a computer using prime numbers and all sorts of neat stuff like that. And, you know, and they change it on a daily basis. All right? You know? And they even have a method of transmitting those numbers in such a way that even if somebody intercepted the transmission, they can't read them. You know, it's part of the reason why they came down on PGP. Pretty good privacy. Because that was military grade communication software that the government couldn't crack. And he only called it pretty good.
Nice.
And Facebook and Yahoo and Gmail and whoever else is out there, they're getting to the point where they want your passwords to be of that grade. And I'm trying to tell them, you know, it's up to me how much security I want. That little meter bar saying this password is only moderate, that's actually pretty important to me. Okay? It used to be, I used to think it was funny as all get out. It used to be when I first started using password as my password, encrypted, it came out as, oh, hey, this is top of the line. You've pegged our safety meter. All right? Now I'm lucky if I get a moderate. It's usually considered weak. All right? But I only use it for accounts that I need weak security for. All right? My two main email accounts that I use for dealing with businesses and such as a consumer, all right, not as a business, as another business, you know, not B2B. If I'm doing B2B, it's more complicated, all right? All right? My main accounts, I have upgraded my password. I no longer use password for them, but, you know, I upgraded it mainly because somebody did hack one of my email accounts and was doing some stuff I didn't like with it, all right? And so I upgraded my password.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that.
It wasn't you. I'm pretty sure I knew. I'm pretty sure I know who it was because of the nature of the stuff that was being done, but I upgraded my password to what I'd consider a moderate level, and it still comes across on their system as being strong. Well, at least it used to, and so they started requiring capitalization and lowercase and punctuation marks. All right.
That's blasphemy.
Once they started requiring those two things, it no longer came across as strong. But they're going to get to the point where they're going to tell you you need a password generator.
Oh, I've already figured out how to create my future passwords. They're going to be 52 characters long.
Okay.
Basically, the websites.
yes.
automatically encrypt the passwords. So I'll just pick a password that I like, put it into the website, go and get the encrypted code for that password, and use that for my password.
You'll have to show me that trick. But that's also what you're talking about is how people like me, once I know where to find that in the site, people like me can reverse engineer that and get the original password.
Oh, yeah, it's still hackable, but it's harder to figure out. That was actually my Facebook password for a long time.
Oh, God.
And I actually used the encrypted version of one of your passwords in order to use for Facebook. And what I did was I put that on the PC so that I would lock myself out of the phone on Facebook. So it would keep me from being tempted to go to Facebook on my phone.
You used one of my passwords to do that? I feel violated.
Yeah. I used the computer's version of an encrypted password of your encrypted password.
Oh, my. Anyway, my point is you should be able to choose your level of security, the level of security you want. You should be able... Now, you know, granted, you're walking to somebody else's house, but if they want to communicate with the maximum number of possible people, then they should be able to assign levels of certification. All right? Just about everybody's going to certify. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Just about everybody's going to certify that the email you gave is correct. Okay? And they should do that because it's too easy for people to sign up with somebody else's email, all right? You know,
I would never do such a thing.
Well, but, you know, the answer to that is just create another email account, all right? The next thing is verify the photo, all right? That might not be the next thing, but, you know, that's something that could be done, all right? Have them give you a phone number. All right, but it'd be a level of certification, okay? So you could, on your site, you could say, we've certified this person on 3 points. They've provided us with an email. They mailed us a copy of their driver's license, and the picture matches their photo. They've given us a phone number, and we've called and interviewed them. That'd be great for a date site. All right?
Yep.
And as a date site operator, once I've done that verification, I would destroy the driver's license sent to me. Now, granted, that person could then turn around and change their photo. So maybe I wouldn't do that. I don't know. You know? Personally, I'd prefer to destroy that stuff because I wouldn't want some government agency knocking on my door and saying, we have a warrant. We want all the information you have on the following account. I don't have any information on the following account. Well, you said you certified their phone number and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I called and interviewed them, and I deleted all that information from my computer after the interview was completed. I just needed to verify who they were, and once I had that information, once I had the verification, I didn't need the information anymore. I don't know if it still is, but that's actually the policy of some of the libraries in California when the federal government started demanding people's library book you know, the list of books that people have checked out from the library. The library, after so many days, started deleting the list of books that they'd checked out. Because the federal government was, Homeland Security was asking for it.
Right.
Which made problems for the library because, you know, overdue books. Who checked that out? Don't know. It's overdue. Yes. It's been overdue for a month. Well, how come you don't know who checked it out? Because after they had it checked out for a month, we deleted the information.
Dang darn diddly.
Oops.
Oops, I did it again.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was good from a privacy issue, but it was bad from, you know. Yeah, I don't know how it handled that photo thing. But, you know, if somebody thinks a creative way to handle that, I'd like to hear it. And I'd like to suggest it. You know, there's... I mean, some of the stuff that websites do is just downright stupid. I mean, they want you to sign up and so you can get benefits from this or that company. And they literally create leaks in people's identity through their website. And they didn't really have to. They could have just gone the old method of posting all their stuff up on a website. And, you know, you don't need an app.
Right.
You know, all these pizza companies, get the app! So now you got an app for Simple Simons, for Pizza Hut, for Little Caesars, for Burger King. Oh, Burger King doesn't sell pizza, but, you know, you still, you got the app for Burger King and McDonald's and all these other places. Like, what the hell? Go to their website.
That's it.
You know, when you sign in the website, they have the ability to say, okay, this ISPN contacted us. So they've got a record that they were contacted by so many different people. They've got a record that a certain ISPN contacted them so many times this week. So they know that this, you know, they know they're selling 5 pizzas a week to that ISPN. Oh, boy. You know, you don't need an account for everything that you do with people. And you don't have to be super secure with everything you do with people. You know?
I do.
If you don't keep track of credit card information, then you don't need a super secure account for people to contact your fast food joint. So if you keep that stuff on file, and you shouldn't, then you gotta keep it super secure. Well, cut out your security costs. Don't keep it. Oh, but it makes it easier for people to make orders. Tough. Tell them, for your security, we do not keep the information. Yes, you'll have to give it over and over and over again.
For your security, I don't want to know who you are.
That's pretty much true. I don't really want to know who you are for your security.
Yeah, I want to know do all that.
I want to know who you are
website,
to some degree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a little hard to say that on a date site because, you know, if they lie about who they are on the date site, yeah, they'll attract people and stuff, but it... overall go negative for them. You know? I don't know. You know more about lot lizards than I do.
Lot lizards!
Well, you know, it's like Homeland Security. We could take care. We don't need Homeland Security. We don't need them looking at our naked photos and dousing us with X-ray radiation and touching us. We don't need that. Simple question. You have a gun or a knife on you? No? Here. Select one of these. Arm everybody. And you know, you could probably hand out rubber knives and plastic guns and it had the same effect. Because hijackers would never know how many of those guns were fake.
Yeah.
I'm fixing to rebirth again. I'm going to be a noob all over again.
A noob? You're going to... Did I ever give you a copy of that Agenda 31 podcast about making a common law ID?
Probably not.
Okay. I gotta get you a copy of that. I'm gonna do it. I need to find one other person who I'm pretty sure Joe would go with me and say, Yep, he's that's David Ray. All right. When you make a common law ID, one of the things that you do is you get a notary, their notary, you know, their system, to say, yep, this person showed up with this. He had witnesses that said, yep, that is him. And I'm certifying that the witnesses said that was him. And that's all the notary is doing. Okay? All right, then you turn around and you get an apostille on that notarized document, which is basically you contact the Secretary of State for your state and you have them notarized that the notary that notarized your document was a legitimate notary. Okay? So you're kind of covering both bases because, you know, they can't say that you just made that up. Like, no, we had it witnessed to you that it was real. And then you can't tell us that, oh, well, that notary wasn't authorized because had you certified that indeed the notary was certified to witness that we said it was real. So, but you put a bunch of courtesy information on there because they're going to look for things like your date of birth, your residence, your first and last and middle initial and a picture of you. All right? And you might not want to give them that information in the way they're asking for it. So, you know, a lot of people say, well, your given name is your first name. But there's been sufficient court cases to demonstrate that, no, it's not the same. And that's fine. All right. So I'd make up an ID that listed my given name, my family names, and because I'm a member of multiple families.
I'm a member of a country club.
I'm sure you are, too. I mean, didn't you have two pair of grandparents?
Three.
Three pair of grandparents. All right. Did all three pairs consider you family?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I was born in the Harriet family. Okay. My father was accepted into that family, not by birth, not by conception, actually. That's something else. They're going to ask for your birth date. You don't have to give them your birth date. What you can do is you give them your date of conception. That'll really throw them off. All right? You know, and you give it in the format of month and year. All right? And you can say, you know, in the year of the Lord, if you want to, or heck, you might want to use the Jewish calendar and say I was born in 5578 or something like that. I don't know. I'm making those numbers up off the top of my head because I know within the century or so, or within the millennia, what year it is on the Jewish calendar, but I don't know the exact year. So I was just making that up. But you might want to use their calendar to state your date of conception. Won't even be a date of birth. All right? You know, and one of the podcasters on Agenda 31, he pointed out that, you know, that actually was the way they identified, you know, their legitimacy. Because, you know, here's the date that mom and dad got together and told the world, we are man and wife. And then here's the day I was conceived, about 3 months later. I'm legitimate.
Not me, I'm illegitimate.
Well, yes. On the state-issued birth certificate, you are a bastard. Your mother testified that your father was unknown. And the funny thing about that is your father probably signed the same document verifying that he was unknown.
That's funny.
He was a witness that that you were a bastard. All right? Now, I really don't know, even in terms of common law, what difference that makes. It strikes me that might not have been a legitimate distinction in the first place. All right, but it was a distinction. It was important then, as far as they were concerned. They affected inheritance based on that. If you were a bastard, you couldn't inherit the same as anybody else. All right, you were the legal definition of a monster.
I'm a monster.
Okay, well, under modern jurisprudence and the methods by which they document your birth now or whatever, you're coming into this planet, we're all bastards. And I don't know how that benefits them. I'm ignorant, but I rather not fuel their fire. I rather throw a little water on it. And so I'm perfectly willing to give my conception, my estimated conception date. All right, I know roughly how old I am. You know, I may not have been able to read the calendar when I was born, so I don't know the exact date, but I could probably guess it within 3 years, you know, based on my development at the time that other kids around me were a certain size, you know, whatever, and how I've seen other children develop over time, you know. So, you know, I'm 50-something. Okay.
Are you sure?
And I'm sure I'm 50-something. I might be in my late 40s, but I'm pretty sure I'm in my early to mid-50s. Okay? And I'm pretty sure that my mother's testimony was spot on, but since I have no way of verifying it, it's only hearsay evidence coming out of my mouth to repeat what she's told me. Okay? So.
That's blasphemy.
You know what? You'll think this is even more blasphemous. The day I was born, I could not have picked my mother out from a lineup of one.
Poor mom.
Well, according to my mother's testimony, any one of the nurses could have walked off with me. I would have clung to any of them.
Poor nurse.
Well, and then there's this. I cannot positively say that my children are my children. And nor can my wife, because all of them were born in the hospital. Now let me think.
Oh, look out.
I'm trying to think. They actually improved the hospital for our second and third child. And so they had my wife in this huge room, and she never left it the entire time.
But the baby did.
No. They even had an incubator in case there was that need right there in that room. Yeah, there was no room where there's a whole bunch of babies on display. It was all done in the same room. So those two children, they never left our presence. One of us is always in the room with that child from birth. Okay. So my last two children, I can positively say that they are my children. Now,
maybe.
Actually, I can, because I know when they were conceived. I knew how to make sure. All right.
Yeah, but are they biologically yours?
That's what I'm saying. We were practicing a method by which Rowena was only made pregnant when we wanted her to be pregnant. So I
right,
knew exactly when she was in heat.
She was cheating on you.
Yeah, this is true. She was cheating on me soon after the birth of my last child. All right. So I suppose I would have to do blood tests, but, you know, they have too many features that match mine. All right.
Right.
Even Julian, who could have been switched at birth because they had the ability to do the shell game at that time. Because at that time, they did put him in a big room where all the babies were on display. Okay. You know, it'd be real easy to switch two babies, even accidentally. Like, oops, I brought you the wrong baby. You know, I know they tagged the mom and they tagged the baby immediately. So it's still kind of difficult to make that mistake. But they could make the mistake on purpose because it really wouldn't be too hard to reprint a tag for the baby. Anyway, but no,
anyway.
my children look too much like me. They have too many of my features. They have too many of my abilities. Granted, some of that was taught to them, but I mean, you know, facial features and things like that, you can't really teach that. So, But honestly, nobody on this planet was born able to look at their mom and say, yep, yep, that was my mom. You know? Except maybe Christ Almighty, but his parents were confused. They thought they were his parents. When he went off to start teaching in the synagogue, they got all bent out of shape, and it's like, what are you doing? Anyway, whatever. That's another story. All righty.
All righty.
Hey. 2 hours and 5 minutes.
We need more stuff to talk about.
Really?
No, we're good. So, yeah, ScrapGov. Check out our ScrapGov podcast at ScrapGovScrap.com.
And hey, I have a lot of stuff to talk about. I actually have a lot of stuff to talk to about, but it's all health and
nutrition,
and here's one that might be kind of political. It's one of these stupid videos that, you know, they advertise, you know, go here and watch this stuff. This is a Brightside's a YouTube channel, and they have this thing that if you see a coin in your door handle, run and call the police. All right, so I went through the whole article and watched their little video and stuff like that, and for somebody to stick the coin in the handle quickly enough to do this thing, they'd have to be next to your car when you push the button to lock it.
Interesting.
Or I suppose they could have put the coin there when you were home. And then when you drove around town and came back home, then they'd have access to your car, because supposedly on some models of car, putting a coin behind the handle will prevent the door from being locked when they lock the car. Right. And that's probably just some models. I'd like to experiment with it and see, but where it gets political is, all right, let's see now. Let me review this. Okay. One of the things they talked about was stealing VIN numbers. All right. So here's the spiel that they gave, and quite frankly, I don't think it's too likely. But what they do, supposedly, is they'll go and copy your VIN number from your car. And then they'll go rent a car that's the same make, model, and year as your car. And then they'll remove the VIN number from that car. And they'll make a metal tag to match your VIN number and put that up front. Then they'll put the car up for sale. All right? Probably sell it cheap so it sells quick. All right? Then they'll steal the car back from whoever they sold it to, and then pull their fake VIN number out and put back the original VIN number, and then turn in the rented car And, of course, the new car owner will report the car stolen. All right. And there's some other details about, you know, they get the appropriate paperwork made up for the car, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All right. But the new car owner, the person who bought the car with the fake VIN number, will report it stolen. And you might be 3-4 states away. All right? But you get caught driving this stolen car that's really yours because it was, you know, supposedly legitimately sold a couple states away. But you get arrested, and you did nothing wrong. So what this Brightside video suggested is always cover your VIN number. Now think about that. How many of you have been pulled over by the police and they complained because you got stuff blocking the VIN number on your car?
Screw the police.
All right. Anyway, I don't think that particular scam's too likely to be pulled off anyway, but I mean it's I don't know, I just thought it was kind of interesting they made that suggestion. Yeah, nah, the rest of this is all D&D stuff. But I couldn't call in yesterday because my service provider apparently has a bad tower in the area.
Bad tower in area.
Oh, yeah. Kano, go to this site. CIPH.io.
I'm in bed. You'll have to text that to me.
Yeah, I'll try to. But you want to get away from YouTube? This may be the site.
Okie dokie.
That may be the site. For those who are listening, https://Charlie. Indigo Papa Hotel dot Indigo Orion. All right, that's CIPH.io. And I gotta relearn this phonetic alphabet because I really messed it up. But oh well. I'm disappointed. I should have gotten in yesterday. Oh, well. Yeah, I gave up around 9 o'clock yesterday. I just couldn't get through. And I passed out, I guess. I'm blaming Verizon. Turns out it's AT&T. But all the phone services are having problems in this area. It's not just AT&T. Verizon people can't use the house at Bill and Shirley's place anymore. So, I don't know. All right, so how do folks get a hold of this podcast?
Scrap.com.
Okay. Where you'll be instructed at the top of the page to dial 905-604-9926. And you'll be asked for an access code. 128374. Hashtag.
Hashtag.
That's 7 p.m. every Sunday. Or it's the same number if you're calling in for the for the Demented Dungeons and Dragons podcast on Saturday. But that's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time or 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time. So
that's it.
That's it. That's how you get a hold of us.
Bada boom, bada.
You can read our wonderful disclaimer there. I need to check it out. Do I have admin access to that site? Can I work on those?
Admin access to what site?
The ScrapGov and the Demented Dungeons and Dragons. I know I can post
stuff.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I have admin access. I need to add the Discord channel link, whatever, to that as well.
So. I'm pretty sure you have admin access, but if not, we'll work on that.
I'll find out. All right. All right, folks. Next week, hope to hear from you Saturday or Sunday.
Yes, call in.
At least, you know, send us some ideas. Tell us what horrible things Ron Paul is doing so we can talk about it. All right.
Yeah,
bye, folks.
Evil Ron Paul.
We'll probably talk about you if you do. And that's all right. Go ahead. Do it anyway. All right. Bye.
All right. Bye.